again. And if you would, we'd like to have a couple thoughts out of the book of Psalms, actually chapter 31. So if you'd like to turn to there, we'll commence. Psalms 31. And as we were to look at this psalm and think about it a little bit, it's a psalm written by the Spirit of God through David. And David had a lot of ups and downs in his life, I believe, that are expressed sometimes in this psalm. And in what we might call a greater sense, there's the suffering and the deliverance of the Savior also seen in this psalm. Some important verses that we often quote, and it's quoted in the book of Luke by the Savior. He said, and into verse 5, and it says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit," as he suffered on the cross in providing a way of salvation. And many saints down through the ages have also done that, as they suffered for the name of Christ and giving of their life. And into thy hand I commit my spirit. Verse 15 says that my times are in your hands. And how true that is as we go down through life, especially as we get older and different things are we're affected by, we recognize how much that is true. The Psalm 31. But the verses that I wanted to think about tonight were the last two verses of the psalm, and it says this in verse 23, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and he is and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." O love the Lord. It's interesting way to start this verse, in the sense that it says, all ye his saints. As saints, as believers, to love the Lord is something that should come pretty naturally, I would think. I thought of a situation that possibly could be, it's not anything I know of, but a person, let's say I was swimming out in Lake Erie here on the beach, Lake Hamburg on the lake there, and got out a little too far and found that the undercurrent was more than I could handle, and I cried out for help and somebody came out and helped me. And I was going down, but they saved me and dragged me in and saved my life. And then not only did they save my life, but they found special interest in me and they helped me along in my life and they provided for me and many other things that we recognize that the Lord does. I don't think it would be too hard for me to say to that person, I love you and thank you, you know. And but the psalmist here says, oh, love the Lord. He's urging us to love the Lord, something that should come natural. And as I thought of that, I thought about a passage in Ephesians 5, it deals with the husbands. You don't need to turn to there. It's very familiar. It says, husband, love your wives. Again, an admonition to husbands to do something that should really come naturally. The reason we got married was, I hope, because we loved and wanted to be with that person. And it's something that really we shouldn't have to be encouraged to do, but should come out of a heart of gratitude and appreciation. And as we look over, some of us that have been married for a little bit longer, like me, maybe somebody's been married longer than me, I'm sure, but at 41 years, you know, you can look back on a faithful partner and a loving partner and one who helped you along, just as the Bible says, to help me. And the idea of loving that person should come natural. And so it should come with us as born-again believers, ones that have been saved and snatched from sin and all its consequences, and our daily provisions our food, you know, our clothes, our shelter, all these things are gifts from God. And it says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. It should be something that we should do quite naturally and quite givingly. But, you know, we like to sing sometimes, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Okay? For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. It's easy to say, it's easy to sing, but do we do it? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous. But how often do we balk at the things that the Lord has asked us to do? Simple things. As a young person, or maybe older alike, I mean, some of the things he's asked us to do is to follow him in baptism, to remember him on a weekly basis here. Privileges, opportunities, responsibilities, commands, we could say, that the Lord has given, that he's asked us to do. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. Someone has said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. In other words, if you love someone, you're going to give to them. And that can be expressed in our gratitude to the Lord and the things that we do as he's asked us, and keeping his commandments. And that's the ultimate test. So easy to say things, so easy to sing things, but the test is, do we love him? Will we keep his commandments? So David encouraged us to love the Lord. And then it says, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. And as I thought of that, I thought of a psalm that Uncle Dave wanted us to learn. I don't know if I ever learned it in Sunday school or not, but I can't remember. He probably does, but I don't. But Psalms 91, and let's listen to the first six verses. He that dwelleth, and this is the Lord's preservation, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that worketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. As we love the Lord, we find, and as we follow him, we find and experience his preservation. The Lord preserveth the faithful, and is plentifully and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. How often we see lots of times people prospering, evil men actually, and women doing well, prospering, getting away with things, and sometimes we may have, I don't want to say jealousy, but that could crop up too. But we see these things happen and we wonder why. But we have to remember, Hebrews, 10:30 says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord has these things under control. He understands, he knows, and he'll take care of all these things that sometimes bother us. As we see the proud doer, the perhaps evil person, getting away with. But then he says, in the 24th verse, he says, be of good courage. And that's a good thing to be encouraged in. What could we be encouraged in? I think in assembly matters, as Sunday school teachers, we need to be encouraged in that, to the understand and know that God is working in the lives of these children that we teach, that you teach, and many great things can happen. How many times we've heard stories of children from and their Sunday school teachers years later, and how what an influence that has been on them, and how it has changed their lives. And while in class, it might have been the worst student or whatever, most misbehaved or whatever you have. So we need to be encouraged as in teaching Sunday school. Maybe encouragement in serving. Perhaps you're involved with this little break we have between meetings, and you might look at it as not a very rewarding thing, but like, we need to be encouraged as we do things, as we do them as unto the Lord. You know, the Lord says that even a cup of cold water given in His name isn't going to be forgotten or set aside or not acknowledged. But I think, too, as we think of these things, what the Lord's interested in our lives isn't necessarily the quantity, necessarily, but the quality. And that kind of goes along with what I just said. There's things to be encouraged in as we prepare even for our Christmas program, as Audrey's been going over with me. And she's got a good program lined up, and as the teachers have the kids learn their parts and all these things, we can be encouraged that the Lord could use this to the, perhaps even the salvation of some parent or relation that might come out as they come to the Christmas time. We've got the caroling going on coming up here pretty quick at the different homes. I believe that's okay, right, Dave? We're going to be going to
that? Well, it's almost all okay.
Okay. All right. Well, at least if we get to go there, we can be encouraged that this is an opportunity, again, to serve the Lord as those that love the Lord and want to do what He's asked us to do. Planning of the conference, all these things through the year and things like that, that many of you are involved in a very special way. We can be encouraged in our prayer time. It's a great privilege we have to pray for each other. Intercessory prayer, as we think that we speak to the very God of heaven, the creator and sustainer of all that we see and have and hear and know, and we're able to speak to Him directly and be in prayer for others. Another thing to be encouraged to do. And then we need to be encouraged and have good courage as we think of our families and child-rearing, as we've been thinking about in prayer. What a responsibility of a parent to have this young life in their control, as it were, and it's in God's control, obviously, which is the better part, but still He's given them, He's lent them to us, and we have a great responsibility and a privilege to bring these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In family matters, we can be encouraged as we trust the Lord for financial needs, because we all have them, and we can look to Him. And for those who have been along the way a little bit, you can look back and see how the Lord has provided in many ways, things that we didn't understand how we could ever do, and yet the Lord has been good to us in those things. And so we can be have good courage and be encouraged in them things. And then also in the disappointments, because there are disappointments in life. No one has ever said that to be a Christian, to be a follower of the Lord, it would be a life of total bliss and no disappointments. Now, there's going to be disappointments, but we can take courage in disappointments, knowing that the Lord is in control, and again, all things will be taken care of by Him when He's in His good time. And then it says, and He'll strengthen your heart. He'll give you the strength that you need to do these things. He'll encourage you. And I think of the song, as the psalm ends up here, all ye that hope in the Lord. It says, my hope is in the Lord, who gave Himself for me. And then the second stanza said, His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe. And so that's our thoughts for this evening, and trust that we'll love the Lord as we've been urged to do by the psalmist here. And that we'll let him take care of the difficulties that we sometimes think we ought to take care of ourselves, knowing that he'll take vengeance for us and that he'll strengthen us. We can have courage in the things of daily life. And even in our meeting tonight, as we look forward to another year, we'll take courage in that and be encouraged that the Lord will be with us should he tarry, and that we'll see good things happening here at the chapel for the year to come. So let's just close in a word of prayer, and then we'll take probably at 20 after we'll begin our annual meeting.